So glad you guys are here. I'm gonna ask you guys if you've ever done something before. Have you ever tried to talk God out of something? You know what I'm talking about? You ever tried to talk God out? Anybody ever tried to talk God out of something? You hadn't? I say, I gotta tell you, I just be honest right up front. For the past few weeks, maybe a little over a month, I've tried to talk God out of what we're gonna start talking about today. Like, there are certain things that I'm like, oh, I can't wait to talk about this. But God and I, we've been having this conversation where I'm like, God, can we just put this off a little bit? Like, this is something that I would rather not talk about, at least like right now, God. Can we just put this off for a little bit? But God would not let me put this off. And as you'll see by the end of today, or you'll know why that's the case by the end of today, but I want to kind of give you some backstory to kind of leading up to how we got to this series that we're going to start today called The Enemy Within. See, most of you who've been coming to Hub City Church for a long time, you know that I have something that I say all the time. It's a mantra. You could probably say it back to me before I even tell you what it is. Anybody know what it is?
Listen to God and do what he says.
That's one of them. Okay, here we go. Y'all are afraid to talk. Because I know you know this, okay, because we say it all the time. The best habit you could ever develop is the habit of reading God's word on a daily basis. I say that all the time. And the reason why this is true is because the way that we learn about God is through reading the Bible, right? The way that we hear God's voice primarily is through reading the Bible on a daily basis. The way that we figure out what it is that we should do as his followers, how we should live, what a relationship with him looks like, it comes out of reading God's word, not a hit and miss reading God's word, but this systematic daily reading of God's word. And so that's why the best habit that you could ever develop is the habit of reading God's word on a daily basis. Well, I have a Bible reading plan that I'm using right now. It's in the YouVersion Bible app. By the way, all the notes from today are in the events section of the YouVersion Bible app. If you want to pull that up, they're also going to be up on the screen. But I'm doing this read through the Bible in a year plan. It's one that I've used for the past 5 years. I just do the same plan, keep reading through the Bible year after year after year. It's just kind of what my habit is. And a few months ago, actually it was earlier this year, during my daily reading, I came across this verse out of Romans chapter 8, verse 13. This is Paul writing. He's writing to Christians who are living in Rome, who are persecuted and all that. And he says this, "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live." Now, before I tell you why this jumped out at me, let me kind of explain this verse a little bit to make sure that we're all on the same page. He says, "For if you live according to the flesh, he's not talking about our physical bodies, he's talking about our sinful nature. Whenever Paul uses the phrase the flesh, he's not talking about this, he's talking about the sinful nature that we all have, that part of us that resists God, that part of us that wants to do what it is that we want to do. And what he says here is that if we live according to this sinful nature, if we let our sinful nature kind of direct and control and shape the trajectory of our lives, that we will end up dying. Of course, we're going to have a physical death, but he's talking about a spiritual death, this separation from God. And then he says, but, which is a very important but, if by the Spirit, that is in the power and in the power and in partnership with the Spirit, if we partner with the Spirit and work to put to death these misdeeds of the body, we will live. In other words, what he's saying here is if we will put to death our sinful nature, that's how we live. Like if we succumb to our sinful nature, that's gonna lead to death. But if we wanna live, we've gotta figure out how to put to death our sin nature. Well, I read this verse a few months ago, and the first question that popped into my mind is, okay, Paul, I hear what you're saying, but how? How do we do this? How do we put to death our sinful nature? How do we put to death these misdeeds of the body that Paul is talking about here? How do I kill my sin nature? Now, let me tell you why this question is so important to me, why it really jumped out, why I kind of had to pause for a little bit and have a conversation with God asking the how question. And the reason why this is so important for me is I think why it might be important to you. But I find myself, or this war going on inside of me between my sin nature and the Holy Spirit. You know what I'm talking about? If you've been following Jesus any amount of time, there's this war that goes on inside of us all the time between our sin nature and the Holy Spirit. And I find myself that I'm just like Paul. I do things that I don't want to do, and then I don't do the things that I know that I should do. You know what I'm talking about. Actually, Paul describes that in the previous chapter. Look at what he says in Romans 7. He describes this tension that all of us who are followers of Jesus live with. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. You feel that, right? For I do not do the good that I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now remember who's writing this. This is Paul, the guy who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, the guy who you would have Jesus and then you would have Paul, right? I mean, he's like super spiritual guy. He says this, now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. That's an important part. We'll come back to that later on throughout this series. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in me. And by law, that's not like a law like, you know, the don't speed, that not that kind of law. It's like a law like the law of gravity law. That's kind of what he's talking about here. This force, this other force working inside of me, waging war. I love that phrase. It's waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner. It's important. I'm trapped. Of the law of sin that is at work within me. See, I love what Paul writes here because I think what he does is he describes this tension that all of us can relate to. We find ourselves doing things that we don't want to do and not doing the things that we know that we should do. We live with this tension between the Holy Spirit and our sinful nature, and they're at war, they're fighting. You could call it the war inside. And our sinful nature is really the enemy within. It's that thing inside of us that's trying to take us out, that's trying to trip us up, that's trying to pull us away from God. And all of us who are followers of Jesus, we live with this tension inside of us. If you're not living with this tension, I would question whether it is you're a follower of Jesus or if you've just ignored what it is that we're gonna talk about. We'll get to that in just a minute. But he goes on and says this. He says, what a wretched man I am. Now remember, like I already said, this is Paul. The most super spiritual guy you could think of besides Jesus. Paul, what a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? It's like a valid question, I think. Who can rescue me from this tension? Who can rescue me from my sinful nature? Who can save me from myself? This is what Paul's saying here. Well, he answers this question, verse 25. Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. Like our only hope for rescue, our only hope for deliverance is our only hope for killing our sinful nature is through Jesus. It's through a relationship with Jesus. Now, this is an important theme that we'll come back to over and over again in this series, and that is that we cannot do what it is that we're going to be talking about. We cannot kill our sin nature. We cannot put to death the misdeeds of the body on our own. We can't do it on our own power. Some of you know that because you've tried. Like you've got this habit that you've tried to stop over and over again and you just can't stop it. You've got this thing that you do and man, you're just so tired of doing it, but you just can't stop doing it. And it's so frustrating. Well, the thing is, Jesus is our deliverer and we're gonna talk about how that makes sense over the next few weeks and how to do that. But it goes back to verse 13 or chapter 8, verse 13. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Now we're gonna look at this verse a number of times today. I want you to memorize this verse this week. This is the foundation of everything we're gonna talk about for the next few weeks. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Now I think most of you in this room and online, at least on some level, if the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, you want to figure out how to put to death the misdeeds of the body. You want to figure out how to kill your sin nature. But you're like me. How do you do this? I mean, how do we put to death that part of ourselves that is opposed to God, that part of us that is resisting God? How do we wage war against our sin nature? Well, that's what the rest of this series is going to be about. But I also think that most of you are going to be like when I was talking with Jamie about this series, that you're, instead of asking the how question, your question is, why? Like, why talk about this? I mean, wouldn't it be fun to talk about something else? You know, like loving people or God loving us. Why in the world would we talk about killing sin? Well, I've got a number of reasons why it is that we're going to talk about this. First, like I already told you, I really believe that God wants us to talk about this, and he wants us to talk about this now. I have never tried to talk God out of a series as much as I tried to talk him out of this one. We had many conversations, and some of you are like, how do you have conversations with God? I'd love to talk with you about how to have a conversation with God if you want to do that, but we had many conversations. He just wouldn't let me off the hook. I really believe that God wants us to talk about this now, which means that I think God has something he wants to say to me and something he wants to say to you over the next few weeks. I think another obvious reason why we need to talk about this is because most of us don't know how to kill sin. Like, we've never been taught. We've never figured that out. We've just lived with our sinful nature, and we read what Paul says, but since we don't know how to do it, we just move on to something else that we do know how to do. And we need to figure out how to kill sin. I think, according to the New Testament, we need to become experts at figuring out how to kill our sin nature. And so over the next few weeks, we're going to discover not only why this is so important, but what your part is in the process. See, this doesn't just happen. We have a responsibility to figure out how to kill our sin nature. God's not going to do it without us doing our part. But there's another reason why we're doing this series and why I think God wants us to do this series. And that's something that I've observed over the past few years. When I look at Christians in America, I love to kind of pick my fun of and pick on Christians in America because that's me, right? I can do that because I'm one of that tribe. But I've noticed something, and it's kind of frightening to me. I've noticed that there are Christians in America, and maybe even some of you in this room and some of you online, where you've kind of become casual about sin. You could even say that you've become comfortable with sin. Or you've become complacent about sin, or maybe even apathetic about sin. In other words, there's this group of people that I see that for them, sin's not that big of a deal. They say they're following Jesus, but sin is not that big of a deal. I mean, why should it be a big deal, right? I mean, God's gonna forgive me. We've got those promises that say if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Right at the beginning of Romans chapter 8, we read that that those who are following Jesus, that they, I just went blank. I cannot believe I forgot that verse. Oh my goodness. There's no condemnation for those who are followers of Christ Jesus. Man, I blame it on the Sudafed. I am a little spacey, but I didn't want to cough the whole time I was talking to you guys this morning. But I think that we have this idea that since God's going to forgive me of my sin, that sin is not that big of a deal. But there's a huge problem with that way of thinking, because throughout the New Testament, we are called to live holy lives. Paul says to be holy as God is holy. Peter writes to be holy as God is holy. We're called to sanctify ourselves. That's just a really big church word that means we're to becoming more and more and more like Jesus. We're to grow in holiness. We're to grow in purity. And when we just say that sin's not that big of a deal, when we're casual about our sin, well, we kind of just ignore all those calls to holiness that we find throughout the New Testament. Not only that, a real reason why this is a really big problem, why we can't have a casual attitude towards sin, is because Jesus wasn't casual towards sin. Now, don't hear what I'm not saying. Jesus was the most accepting person that ever lived on the face of the planet, but he was never casual about sin. To Jesus, sin was a really big deal. And in a few weeks, in 2 weeks, we're going to look at a passage where Jesus talks about how sin is a really big deal, and we need to do whatever it takes to kill our sin nature. See, we cannot become casual towards that sin that is living inside of us. We can't become comfortable with our sin. We can't become complacent about our sin. We can't become apathetic towards our sin, because sin is a really big deal. Heck, Jesus died for our sin. If there was anything that would cause us to not be casual about our sin, it's that your sin and my sin are what nailed Jesus to the cross, right? So I think that those are some reasons why we should talk about this. But this how question that kind of jumped out at me during my quiet time a few months ago, it really sent me on a journey to discover how we can put to death our sin nature. And so during this series, I want to share with you some of what I have learned over the past couple of months. I want to highlight two books that have been very helpful to me in this process. I put these, if you get the Hub City Weekly email, I put these, I link to these in that email. If you don't get the Hub City Weekly email and you want to get that, make sure on the little connection card there, if you'll just put your email address and circle it, I'll make sure to add you. But one book has a great title, License to Kill. I feel like James Bond reading this one, you know. A field manual for mortifying sin, we'll talk about that. But I've used kind of this book as an outline for this series. Another book is where the title of this series came from. It's called The Enemy Within. It's by Chris Lundgaard. What a terrible last name because it's so hard to say. But fantastic book. I just want to encourage you that if you're a reader, if you're not a reader, you should be a reader. But if you're a reader, to go ahead and maybe get one or two of these books and start reading them to kind of complement us as we go through this series. I strongly suggest those. But I want to wrap up our time by giving you a warning. Because isn't it great to start off a series with a warning? Because the truth is, you may not want to come back after today. Okay? Because talking about our sin nature, talking about sin, is not something any of us want to do. It's actually extremely uncomfortable. That's why over the next few weeks, I am 100% certain that almost all, if not all of you, at some point during this series, are gonna feel really, really uncomfortable. You're gonna feel some guilt. You're gonna, at times, you're probably gonna get mad at me, which is cool, I'm okay with that. My kids get mad at me every once in a while. Some of you, because of what we're talking about, you're gonna think about leaving the church. And you're like, nah, that's not gonna happen. I would never do that. Well, you know how I know that's true? It's because anytime that we ever talk about something there that's convicting, there are some people who don't want to give up the sin that they're so comfortable and casual with. So what they end up doing is not staying here where they will have to deal with that. They go somewhere else. Which, on a side note, if you leave Hub City Church during this series, we're gonna all know that you're hiding some kind of sin, okay? Just letting you know. So all, we're just gonna talk about you. We know that's going on. My throat's hurting. In the words of Randy. So there's that. But as you kind of experience this discomfort, this conviction over the next few weeks, I wanna give you some things that you can do, okay? First, we've got these on a list. I want you to let the Holy Spirit do his job of convicting and convincing you of sin. I don't know if you know this or not, but the Holy Spirit has a job. The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit is on equal level with God the Father and Jesus. I can't fully understand it, but that's how it is. The Holy Spirit has a job, Jesus says, and the Holy Spirit's job is to convince us of sin and to convict us of truth. That's the Holy Spirit's responsibility. So if you feel uncomfortable, if you feel guilt, if you feel this something inside of you, this tension, this resistance inside of you, guess what? The Holy Spirit is trying to do something in your life. And I don't want you to push back against that. I want you to instead open yourself up to that. See, our tendency when the Holy Spirit convicts us of something is to either push back or to get distracted. Squirrel, we want to think about anything else other than what the Holy Spirit is convicting us of. But whenever you experience this tension, whenever you feel the desire to push back, I want you to let the Holy Spirit do its job of convicting you of your sin and convincing you of your sin. And then I want you to do the next logical step, and that is to confess your sin. That's where the good news comes in. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. We have forgiveness because of Jesus. I want you to confess that sin. And then I want you to take it a step further, though. I want you to repent of that sin. See, it's one thing to confess and say, God, I just want to confess this sin. It's a completely different thing to say, God, I want to repent of this sin. In other words, I want to stop doing this, then I want to do something else instead. I want to stop doing that thing that I always do and instead do that thing that I'm supposed to do. That thing that I'm not supposed to do, I want to quit that. And instead, I want to do what it is that you're calling me to do. Repent, changing direction. I want you to repent of that. And then over the next few weeks, and we're going to talk about this, I want you to learn how to kill sin. See, here's the crazy and surprising thing. I think that those of us who are followers of Jesus can develop the skill of killing sin in our lives. But most of us are unwilling to do the hard work to make that happen. And I don't want that to be true of the Hub City Church family. I don't want that to be true of any of us. I want us to be willing to do the hard work of killing sin. Why? I think God's reputation is on the line. You ever realize that? Like, you are God's representative. And when you just keep doing that stuff that you just keep doing over and over again and you stop fighting against it, you're making God look bad. And I know God can take care of himself, but we're told that we're his representatives. We are salt and light. I don't want your salt to lose its saltiness. So as we close out, I want to take you back to what Paul said in Romans chapter 7, because this is where I want us to leave this week so that we can pick up next week, kind of figuring out how to do this. He says this, I've read it before. So I find this law at work, like this force at work. Whenever you read the word law, when Paul writes law, I want you to think force. Not like, it is a little bit like force from Star Wars. This kind of pressure, this forcing you into something. I find this law, this force at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. You know exactly what that's like if you're being honest with yourself as a follower of Jesus. You live there every single day. When you go into work tomorrow, you're gonna be in that place, right? I want to do good. Evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. Like when you get up and you read your Bible in the morning, you're like, man, I got this. And then your kids wake up. Or, you know, you go into the office or you're driving down the road and you just want to kill somebody. Like I do most of the time, right? That I want to do good, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind. See, I just want us to, there is a war going on inside of each of us. There's this fight. And can I tell you, the Holy Spirit is gonna fight as hard as the Holy Spirit can, but guess what? Your sinful nature is not gonna go down without a fight. Your sin nature doesn't wanna give up. Your sin nature is never going to raise the white flag and say, I'm done, you win. This is a battle that we have to figure out how to fight for our entire lives, which is a little bit discouraging, but it's just the way it is, baby. Waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner. And I love that phrase, prisoner, because I feel like that's how most of us feel a lot of times. We feel like we're prisoners to that one thing or those two things that we just can't stop doing that we know we shouldn't do. We're trapped, right? Making me a prisoner to the law of sin that is at work within me. Then he goes on, what a wretched man I am. Or what a wretched, you could just put your name in there. What a wretched Jonathan I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Who's gonna rescue me from my sin nature, from this war going on inside? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, our only hope for deliverance from this enemy within is Jesus. Our only hope is a relationship with Jesus, which is why if you're in this room or you're online listening to this and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, then everything we talk about over the next few weeks is gonna be impossible for you. Like it probably will be convicting, but you're gonna have zero power to do anything about it without a relationship with Jesus. But those of us with a relationship with Jesus, we have this power inside of us. And that's why the foundation at the beginning of this series, it's just a reminder that if you haven't put your faith in Jesus, this is the best time ever to do that right now. See, I just remind you of some bad news. You can never be good enough to save yourself, right? I know some of you are better than others. I know you, so most of you aren't that good. But we can never be good enough to save ourselves. But what we could never do on our own, the good news is that God did for us, right? By sending his son to die for us and his spirit to live inside of us, he sets us free from not just the consequences of sin, but the law, this force of sin and death. And he's given us, by causing his Holy Spirit to live inside of you, everything you need to kill sin. Let that sink in. Everything that you need to kill sin lives inside of you. You already have everything you need to do to kill sin. I just don't think you're doing it. I don't think any of us are doing it. Why? We don't know how. I just be honest, I've been a Christian for longer than I can remember. You know, I turned 47 on Friday, so I'm old. Happy birthday to me. But not a single one of you gave me a card. I'm just telling you, just kidding. Except Lisa. Lisa gave me a card. But I've been following Jesus since before I was born, it seems like. And I've never heard anybody teach about this. I've heard people say you need to kill sin, but they've never told me how. We're going to figure out how over the next few weeks. And so in light of that, I've got a few things I want you to do. One, I want you to memorize Romans 8:13. I want you to memorize that. But here are a couple other things I want you to do. First, just stick with the series. You're going to be tempted to either not come or to check out. Okay? To check out when you're here. You know what I'm talking about because some of you have already done that today. Stick with the series. And then like I already said, I want you to let the Holy Spirit do his job of convicting and convincing you of sin. I just want you to know, I've already been praying this for you and for me. And I hope you pray it for me and for you as well. Let the Holy Spirit do its job. And then confess that sin. Man, I just want us to be habitual confessors. Repent of that sin. And then let's together learn how to kill sin. There's this quote that I'm going to read, probably mention multiple times during this series. It's by a 17th century Puritan pastor, teacher, and he says this. He says, "Be killing sin, or sin will be killing you." Sounds a little simple, right? But it's true. We have to be active in killing sin, or sin is going to be killing you. See, I think right now, there are some of you in this room, if you were honest, and I'm not going to ask anybody to come up on stage and share anything, but there's something going on inside of you, and you're trapped by that. It has a stronghold in your life, and you just can't get past that, and it's killing a part of you. And I hate that. I don't want that to be true for you. I want you to learn how to kill what it is that is inside of you, that enemy within. I think this is going to be an interesting series. And I think that if we stick with this, we're going to come out on the other side of it looking more like it is that God wants us to look, looking more like Jesus in holiness and in purity and all that's involved with that. Let's pray. God, thanks for the opportunity to have a relationship with you where we can actually have the Holy Spirit inside of us and fight against our sin nature, which is trying to destroy us. And we don't think about that. We don't talk about that often. Actually, we would rather not talk about this. But for some reason, God, you want us as a church family to have this discussion over the next few weeks to figure out how to kill sin. So I want to pray for our church family. One, I ask that you would convict us, that you would point out those things in our life that are dishonoring to you, that you would search us and know us, God, and point out anything offensive in us. And that over this series, that you would teach us how to put to death, as Paul says, the misdeeds of the body, how to kill our sin nature. God, give us the courage. It's going to take a lot of courage. We can't do this on our own, and some of us would rather not do this because we like our sin, like it's a little pet that we've treasured it a little too long. Would you not let us do that? But would you, through your Holy Spirit's power and presence and partnership in our lives, would you set us free from our sin nature? Can't wait to see what you're going to do in our lives over the next few weeks. We love you and commit this time to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to give you guys an opportunity to respond by doing what we usually do every week here. We share communion. And if you're in the room, there's little cups in the seats in front of you. Look like this that we're using right now. If you're at home, I hope you have something that you can use for communion. But the reason why we do this every week is it reminds us where our forgiveness comes from. Our forgiveness doesn't come from us just saying we're sorry. Our forgiveness doesn't come when we confess our sins. Our forgiveness comes because we have a Savior who died for our sin. And we take communion every week to remember that. And before we take communion, I want to give you an opportunity just to pray silently, just to close your eyes where you are, and to be honest with God for a minute about your sin, and then to tell him thank you for the sacrifice that he made on your behalf so that you could find forgiveness. Just take a second to pray. God, we thank you for sending your son to die on the cross for our sin, and we just want to remember that right now as a church family. So guys, we take the bread and remember that Jesus' body was broken for us. And then we take the juice, which reminds us that his blood was shed so that our sins could be forgiven. Let's remember. I guess if there's anything that should remind us of the seriousness of sin, it's the act of communion, which reminds us of Jesus' sacrifice.